Good morning, church. All right, woo, bring it on. Well, greetings, and I bring greetings first off. I always have to do this because I bring greetings from Pastor Isaiah Chapeta and also Elton Mahungo. So they're always telling me to tell you guys hi, so hi. And what's up, Mom and Dad? Because they're watching online, so cool, awesome. All right, so I'm going to jump right into this. This morning I want to preach on this topic, and this topic was birthed a few weeks ago. We do a prayer meeting on Saturday night, and in that meeting what typically happens is someone brings the focus for that night, brings the topic, and as they bring it, the Holy Spirit begins to, the rest of us that are around in prayer, we're always asking the Holy Spirit to teach us, Lord, what is on your heart, and as we go throughout that prayer meeting, God always schools us regarding the topic or the focal point. And what's so fun is to always come the next morning on Sunday and then to listen to the Lord again as he begins to teach us more regarding that topic in the message. I love being in the streams of the Lord. Amen. It is so fun to partner with him to see his name glorified. So this morning, the topic that I'm going to bring is, and the message is on remembering. Remembering is not our idea. It's God's. This is really cool. As you read the Bible, you will see this topic threaded throughout the Bible. This is a very important point because when we know it is his idea, we can then ask of him these very important questions. What am I remembering that I shouldn't, and what am I supposed to remember? A very important point that is the Holy Spirit, he is our helper, and he will bring to remembrance those things that God wants us to remember. And the Bible would teach us. So we're going to stand for the reading of this scripture. Boom! John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to look at a couple stories from the Bible. We're going to look at them briefly. And we're going to look at this topic on remembering. After all, the whole Bible is a book on remembrance. And so we're not going to go through the whole Bible today, but we will go through just a couple stories. And as I'm talking to you, and this is what I love, I know that as I'm talking, my hope is that the Holy Spirit will be moving on you as well, and you're going to be thinking about other stories in the Bible where it deals with remembering. And that is the hope of today's message, is that as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is going to be working on you, and you're going to be thinking about other things in your own life on this idea of remembering. So we're going to jump right in. The opposite of remember is forget, right? In the Old Testament, God chooses a man named Moses to lead his people, the Israelites, out of a land called Egypt. Now, Egypt was ruled by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had the Israelites enslaved, doing harsh labor, and the reality is the Israelites did not have their own rights. The Bible records the Israelites being freed from Egypt, and once free, with Moses leading the way, the Israelites journey for 40 years, and the Bible calls this and refers to this as a wilderness. But before they have finished this 40-year journey, God speaks to the people some very profound things. We find some of this in a book found in the Bible called Deuteronomy, which was authored by Moses. Now, as I read this chapter, I'm going to go through it in just a little bit. But as we read what God speaks to his people, we have to realize that, first of all, they're just simple tent dwellers as they're going through the wilderness. If you bring that slide up. Boom. So this is how they're living. And they're in the wilderness. Now, these aren't exact representations, okay? But this is how they're living. And so God speaks to the people, and he's going to speak to them that, hey, look, you guys, you're about ready to come out of the wilderness, and you're going to get this. Now, not exact representations, we realize that. But nonetheless, God is communicating something very interesting. You're going to get this. Listen to this scripture. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm not going to go through every verse, but this is very powerful concerning what God speaks. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him, For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. Woo! A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and you settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and the strength of my hands have produced that, you know, nice picture up there, has produced that wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Remember, it's easy when you live like, bring that up, guys. When you live as the, when you live like this, it's easy to emphatically say, if you knew you're going to get, it's easy living here as a tent dweller to say, oh man, if you give me that, there is no way I will forget you. I mean, come on. Would you forget? I don't know. Would we forget? Yet the Bible is very clear. We are likely to forget. That's powerful. God's speaking to them this, and yet, wow, could you ever forget where you came from? The word forget here in the original Hebrew, it's called shakach. Everybody say shah, and then go deep. Like you got to go really deep for a big launch. Just go kach. Right on, you Hebrew speakers. That word forget means this. It means to forget, ignore, wither, or cease to care. Powerful, that concept, wither. How many green thumbs do we have out there that are really good at keeping things alive? Yeah. How many dead thumbs we got out there? Yeah, most. Oh, look at that. I think about Pat Boyer, you know, who oftentimes takes care of the plants in this house. Pat, we just want you to know that we do not shakach you. Bring it. Amen. I think most of us really would truly say, hey, we would not forget. If God was speaking that to us, we'd say emphatically, we'll not forget. But over time, we forget, we wither, and we cease to care. Again, I want to echo what Moses records in Deuteronomy. Again, this is just so powerful, just a few scriptures. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. This story is a powerful story that brings to our awareness that we are capable of forgetting the things we shouldn't. There's another story in the scriptures. It's really touched my heart regarding remembrance. It's a story about a king named Josiah. This account is found in 2 Kings 22. Josiah becomes king at age 8. From age 8 to 18, not much is recorded of him. And then at age 18, there's a book of remembrance that is found. And all we know is that this book has been forgotten about. The generations before Josiah obviously have not passed along the remembrance of this book, nor have they passed along the commands of following what's in this book. And this is what Josiah says when he hears these words. Remember, Josiah has not been taught to respond in such a way. And this is what he speaks. Once these words fall upon his heart, Josiah says this: great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. they have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. Man, that is a beautiful heart cry. You know, think about Noah. Noah, 9 years old, who just got baptized last week. And I think, Noah, are you here? Dude, what's up? Man, their family got baptized and last week. And you know, his dad was telling me of Noah, 9 years old. He says, you know, Noah's an amazing kid. They'll just be flipping through commercials. Something inappropriate will come on, and Noah will just flip it. And his dad goes, he's just a crazy cool kid. And we don't even know where he came from. And you know, not exactly those words, but because I think you guys do. Well, anyways, I say that of my kids because we really don't know where they came from. But the truth is that Noah, you know, your response is amazing. God's spirit upon you has marked you out because of the way that you respond to him. Just like Josiah, God marked him out and said, you are my own. Even the prophecies that were spoken over you. And you're a leader, man. You are set apart to do God's work. Did you know that? And you're a stud, and we're so glad we're in church with you. When God tells us to remember, he knows us better than we do. He knows we are capable of forgetting, and this is why you will see this concept so much in Scripture. Don't forget, remember. So here's another thing. Remembering memories are an incredible thing. Neuroscience in the past 10 years has made some fascinating discoveries involving the brain and what happens in this thing called remembering. Now, I am not a neuroscientist, and so what I'm going to be bringing today is very elementary. So don't shout me down, but we're just going to jump into some of this stuff. So it's like this. Once you're exposed to something like someone's name or an event or story, your brain, as you recall that event, your brain creates a pathway called a neural pathway. Every time you remember or recall that memory, the neural path gets stronger, making it easier and easier for you to recall it over time. So here's an example. Ellis, so I love you, man, but this is just how we're going to roll. I love Ellis, let's say I don't know Ellis, and so I meet Ellis the very first time, and Ellis, hey, hi Ellis, how you doing? And Ellis kind of looks at me like this, hey, and I'm like, hey, awesome, and so kind of get done with the conversation and go, wow, that was crazy awkward. Every time I recall that memory of that first interaction with Ellis, I build a bridge, and that bridge looks something like this. It's not an awesome bridge, it's just a bridge to the memory. But the more and more that I walk in life, the more I think about Ellis, every time I hear his name brought up, every time that someone may be talking about him, maybe even when I talk to him, I begin to recall that memory, even emotion of feeling, kind of rejected, even feelings of rejection would maybe take me back to that original interaction with Ellis, and I begin to say over time, wow, that's a crazy memory, I can recall it fast, and the bridge looks more like this. You see, I can recall that memory with Ellis quick. It's very quick. Does that make sense? So what we're saying is that this is the very first recall of the memory. The more that I recall it over and over, the neural pathway gets stronger and stronger and stronger. It's active, and it looks like this. But that's just dealing with the recall itself. Now I want to talk about the memory. The memory is a fascinating thing because I met Ellis, we had an interaction, but the more that I go through life recalling that original memory, without absolutes, this is what happens, is I can begin to recall Ellis and the interaction and begin to go, you know, Ellis doesn't like me. He doesn't even like me. I mean, like, it's crazy. Like I know he's having conversations about me behind my back. I know it. It's a fact. You know what? And over time, that memory grows into this. Ellis hates me! He hates me. He thinks I'm a horrible person. Wow. Not yet. You don't love me yet. Just wait. So not only has the neural pathway become strong, but the memory itself has changed. What if the truth is that Ellis, that very first time we had that very first interaction, he had gas. And it showed up on his face just in a very uncomfortable way. Sorry, bro. Check this out. Here's another interesting point. And I do tread lightly here, but there's reality here. What if Ellis really didn't like me? And what if he did talk behind my back? And at some point, I have to say, will I build a solid bridge to that negativity? Will I build it? With the Holy Spirit's help, we can shrink back the amount of traffic that this negative bridge gets and hopefully build strong bridges that encourage life. See, we do this all the time in our memories, and if we are fair to ourselves and others, we have to know that many of our memories have been altered as we have built bridges to them. The reason this is so important in our lives is because we are quick to recall negative, destructive memories. Those bridges are strong. And how much better is it for us to build strong bridges to those memories that produce positive results? But sometimes those are much harder to build. See, it's just like the children of Israel. It's an amazing thing. They forgot that Egypt was so bad. They spent hours with one another talking about how good they had it, even in slavery, but they weren't talking about the negative aspect of it. They were talking about, remember, we got food. And they would rehearse this, and they'd build neural pathways with one another going, man, we ate, and it was good in Egypt. But was it good in Egypt? No, man, it was not good in Egypt. They had no rights. Pharaoh could take their children anytime he wanted to. They were enslaved. There's a powerful quote. It says this, you grow into the conversation that surrounds you. What does that mean? It means this. If you hang out with bitter people, guess what you grow into? When you hang out with positive people, guess what you grow into? When you hang out with people who are visionaries, dreaming, thinking, guess what you grow into? It's an amazing thing. When you hang out with the people of God, guess what you grow into? I got the privilege to hang out with an awesome brother this last year. He came, I can't tell his whole story here publicly, but I will say this, being around you guys and being in a country where Christianity is not favored and results in death, being around you guys has changed his life, just being around you, seeing your smiles and your warmth. He takes that back to his country. I tell you, that is an amazing thing. You see, it's so easy for us to build strong bridges to memories that are not always healthy for us, which often prevent us from building a strong recalling of healthy ones. Over time, because I am changing, my memories are likely to as well. God knows this. It may be new to neuroscience, but it isn't to the creator of it. This is why our written word has so much information on remembering. Love that. You know what's fascinating as well is neuroscience is finding that the best way to remember is in context to a story. How amazing that our Bible is a story of his glory and our part to play in making him famous. We've got to have absolutes attached to our memories. I believe the best source for this is God himself. And even Hollywood gets this right once in a while, so.
Sure do, you Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait.
He's remembering back.
You know my father?
Correction, I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again.
He's alive, and I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on.
He goes, he's gonna remember. He's gonna remember. You know, the process of remembering is not always easy.
Don't dawdle.
It's hard at times.
Hey, whoa, wait.
Come on. Come on.
Would you slow down?
Boom! Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes things pull back against you. And then once you get to the other side, wham.
Shh. Sila. Look down there. That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No.
Look.
card. You see, he lives in you.
Simba, you have forgotten me.
No. How could I?
You have forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son. And the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me. Father! Don't leave me.
I love this. When we remember who God is, then we remember who we are. That is amazing. Simba, before this time, he was just hanging out with his friends. They were singing Hakuna Matata, which means no worries. They say it all the time in Africa too, Hakuna Matata. And it's a funny thing. They're just chilling. But what Simba didn't realize is he was called to something so much more. Yet he wasn't remembering it. He was called to greatness. But it wasn't until he remembered who God was, his father, he remembered who he was. It changed his present and it changed his future. You know, I think about, I wanted to bring up Tom and Jenny. They've got a testimony to share with us this morning about remembering God. It's a beautiful, so welcome Tom and Jenny. Tom and Jenny Ledford, you guys want to come up, stay down? Come on up. Hola, sister. Oh, hey, bro, come on. You can read you. All right.
Well, CJ asked us to share something. We had shared just in a night where CJ and Jenny and I were talking and Tom, and maybe some of you guys know our story, but about 5.5 years ago, we moved to Redding, California, and we really felt strongly that that was what God had led us to do. A lot of series of events had led us to that point. And so we'd been there about a year, and we were just reveling in what God was doing and the doors that he'd opened for us. And about a year had passed, and we found ourselves one day, the kids were in the car, I don't know what we were out doing, but we had started a business, and we were kind of at that point where there wasn't very much money coming in, it wasn't very steady, and we were driving around Redding, and I remember just, we were looking at the gas gauge, There wasn't much gas in the car, the kids were saying, we're hungry. We desperately wanted to take him out and go grab a burger or something, but we had no money in our checking account. We were looking at each other, we were starting to get irritated with each other, kind of griping and just having an issue between the two of us. And we're driving around and we're just this turmoil building up inside of each of us. And I remember at one point Tom says, okay, you got to talk to me. You got to remind me of some things. And we've oftentimes done that in our marriage where we kind of talk ourselves back to a certain place. And he says, you got to remind me of what God's done. You got to remind me of why we're here, of what, why we're doing this. Wow. And so I was like, oh, okay, pressure's on. Let's see if we can remember. And so I just began remembering and voicing, even from the time that when we first gotten married, God had led us to give a little bit of money to someone. I think it was literally like 10 bucks. And that was all we had to give, but we felt like God wanted us to go give it to someone. Wow. And we went, we did that, and coming back across the parking lot, someone walked up to us and said, hey, I want to bless you with a washer and dryer for your apartment. And, you know, a few years later, we were expecting our third baby, and we only had a car that seated four of us. And so we were thinking, how are we going to get this third baby into our car? And after church, someone walked up and said, hey, here's the keys to our van. It's yours if you want it. And so I began recalling those things, or began recalling the times that both of our parents had helped us out in times of huge desperation.
Yeah.
Began recalling just the ways that God had provided, stepping out our front door and finding a $100 bill laying out in the rain in our grass. And we just began talking, even to the point of, why are we here? Why are we in Reading? How did we get to this point? And remembering the different things that had led us to actually move to Reading, the confirmations that we felt we received, the ways that we knew that God had blessed us in that year that we had been there. And we just, you know, we began just talking, you know, and once I started talking, then he was like, oh yeah, what about this? And to be honest, I wish that I could say that in those moments of repositioning ourselves, that we had gone home and there had been hundreds of dollars of checks in the mail. I don't think that happened that day. I know that the checks eventually came. I know that we got paid by different clients, and I know that those things happened. But what it did for us was it repositioned. It put us back in line with our focus, knowing that he's a good God, knowing that he never leaves us or forsakes us,
Amen.
Knowing that every single thing that happens in our life is for a purpose.
Come on.
And yeah, you carry on.
It's really powerful. Just really quick, everything that she just shared, like the time that we stepped out our door, and there was like $108 outside of our door in the bushes, and it was at a time that I'm telling you, we needed that money. We had no money. All these times, even with the washer and dryer, my biggest concern is we just were married, we're just having our first daughter, and we lived in this apartment complex, and we didn't have washer and dryers in our units, and so my biggest concern, this is something I didn't even pray for, but after this experience, I got revelation of who he is, because it was just something that I had voiced, just almost like in frustration. It was like, gosh, I don't want to see my newly bride have to walk across the snow and ice to do our laundry. And then we were led to give that money, and then the manager literally chased her down, coming back home across the parking lot, and said that we just got a job, we're relocating, and we want to give you our washer and dryer. And this is what spoke to me. This is what I came through that experience, is what matters to me matters to him. Wow. And all through these experiences, like I said, just a few years ago, we're going through this, and here we are, we're short on money, and I'm at a place where I'm fixated on the problem. I'm spiraling downward. You understand what I'm saying? I turn to Jenny and I say, you got to talk to me, speak to me, tell me truth, tell me about all the times where God's broke in and done amazing things in our life. And as she began to share, and as we, oh yeah, I remember that, remember this, and remember that. What happened is it completely shifted the focus. It shifted the atmosphere over our life.
Right.
The lies that we were believing were broken.
Right.
And it recalibrated our heart to him.
Come on.
And it caused us to remembrance of what he's done. And in doing that, it's so powerful because it takes your eyes off the problem and puts it on the solution.
Come on.
And at the end of the day, like I said, Jenny, I can't even tell you what happened. All I know is we're here. We're still alive. But what happened was we were like giddy little kids.
Wow.
At the end of this conversation, we were like, man, I cannot wait to see what God is going to do this time.
That's awesome. Amen.
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 Amen. And he is good.
Yeah, he is.
He is good all the time. There's a reason why God told the Israelites to go back and build a memorial.
Yeah.
This thing, this message is powerful. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for allowing us to share. I want to thank the rest of the staff for allowing us to share. It's a privilege. And I just want to say, God is good.
Amen.
God is
Amen.
Good.
Yeah, he is.
God is good.
Yeah, he is. Amen. Thanks for sharing. Beautiful story. Beautiful story. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus teaches us to remember. Why do we communion? Why do we do communion? Because it's to remember. The disciples, they actively remembered. The scriptures were recorded for our benefit so that we might have an accurate account. So we would read them legalistically? No. So we would read them knowing that they bring life. They bring absolutes. There are absolutes threaded into those stories, and in them are the words of God. So I got one more video to show. You'll find this in this video. It's about an old man who's in a nursing home, and Alzheimer's is beginning to take its toll, and his name is Henry. So we'll start it there.
We first see Henry inert, maybe depressed, unresponsive, and almost unalive.
Henry.
Yeah?
Henry.
Yes, John.
I found your music. You want your music now? Let's try your music, okay? And then you tell me if it's too loud or not.
Then he is given an iPod containing, we know, his favorite music. And immediately he lights up. His face assumes expression, his eyes open wide. He starts to sing and to rock and to move his arms, and he's being animated by the music.
And he used to always sit on the unit with his head like this. He didn't really talk to much people. And then when I introduce the music to him, this is his reaction ever since.
Philosopher Kant once called music the quickening art, and Henry is being quickened. He's being brought to life.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the music for 1 second, okay? Just to ask you a few questions.
What?
Okay?
Don't do that.
I'm going to give it back to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, you bet.
The effect of this doesn't stop, because when the headphones are taken off, Henry, normally mute and virtually unable to answer the simplest yes or no questions, is quite voluble.
Henry?
Yeah?
Do you like the iPod? Do you like the music you're hearing?
Yes.
Tell me about your music.
Well, I don't have one, I mean.
Do you like music?
Yeah, I'm crazy about music. You play beautiful music, beautiful sound.
Did you play music when you were? Did you like music when you were young?
Yes. I went to big dances and things.
What was your favorite music when you were young?
Well, I guess, Cab Calloway was my number one band guy. I like.
What's your favorite Cab Calloway song?
Oh. I'll be on there for Christmas. You can count plans on me with plenty of snow, mistletoe, present, red brand new tree.
Oh, I like this version.
So in some sense, Henry is restored to himself. He is remembered. Who he is, and he's reacquired his identity.
Wow, reacquired his identity. Oh, I love that. I love the story. I love seeing Henry light up like a light bulb. Loved hearing him sing. I think we need to sing that version in this church, and I think, you know, we need to change up our color a little bit. Hallelujah for the glory of God. I love this story. I think the reason why I bring it up is because to me it's a picture. It's like a prophetic picture that I think God wants us to be aware of. This is natural, but in looking spiritually, he wants to be aware of this because sometimes we can become like Henry, inert, and not mobile, irresponsive to the things of God. My grandma, she passed away this past year, and she was an amazing lady. She loved life. She loved people. My mom took on many of her qualities and characteristics, but dementia took a hold of her. And dementia is just not a fun disease. We're seeing it more and more, maybe because we're connected more and more as a society, but it is a very sad disease. The thing about the dementia is that as you're going through dementia yourself, it's a very frightening thing because there's times when my parents, who were the main caretakers of my grandma, they would say, Grandma or Mom, did you take your pill? Mom, you already took your pills. And she would say, oh, I have not. I need to take my pills. And then they'd say, you've already taken them. She'd go, no, I did. And what you're doing is you're accusing her of lying. And that'd just be like, you know, me accusing you of lying, and you're going, I didn't lie. And it really frustrates you. And that's what my grandma was going through. It was very hard. She was very afraid at times, and she began to lose her mind. But I want to say this, it wasn't just hard on my grandma. It was extremely hard on my mom and dad. And I have not heard my dad cry very much in my whole entire life. And in calling my dad, many times he would just weep with me on the phone for what he is going through, to see what was happening inside of her. And my mom would weep as well. And as they began to caretake, you know, for my grandma losing her mind. That's a prophetic picture to me, because oftentimes we lose and we forget who we are in God. And you know, it's not just hard on us, because when we lose sight of who we are in God, we do become mean people. We become critical, we become bitter, we lose sight of who we are, and we do have contempt, self-contempt, and we project that on other people as well. But I also want to say this, it's not just hard on us. It's extremely hard upon our families. It's extremely hard upon our children. It's very hard upon our spouses. It's extremely difficult upon our roommates, our friends, and our church. Do not lose sight of your identity in God, because it takes a heavy toll, not just on you, but on all of us. Let's not forget spiritually, you guys. So how do we remember? Let your memories be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, He will help us. This is just a great walk with the Lord. He wants to walk with us, and He will absolutely lead us. If we don't actively, purposely remember who God is, then we are likely to fill ourselves up with other memories that will tell us who He is not. Bottom line, we are at the end of the year. So how do you remember this year? How have you remembered years past that have brought you to this point? And what will you take into this new year with you concerning your memories? We're going to take all of our memories with us, amen, into the next year. But let's make sure that our memories are rooted in absolutes. If they aren't, then they will alter over time. Those altering of memories can become altars that we worship. And you know that you worship them because they have control over our lives. You know, some of us have enormous bridges built that recall memories that we don't want. It's easy to say, hey, quit thinking about it. But there's a bridge there, and that's a big bridge. And that baby doesn't come down very easy. It takes time. And I would say this, God does not... There's a point to where we walk with God, even along some of those bridges, even those negative bridges. We walk with Him. We invite Him to walk with us. And I believe that we can tear those bridges down with God and with community. So let's remember our God. Let's remember who He is. Let's get together and talk God's stories. Come on. Tom and Jenny, man, we got together with them, and they taught God stories. And you know what? We left that place going, man, I want to develop neural pathways that recall God stories fast. I want a bridge that says this is who my God is, because our society and the stories around us constantly tell us who He is not. We need some big bridges. Let's share the story of His glory together. Let's talk about what He is speaking. Let's pray more. Let's live. Let's gather others who aren't alive spiritually into this living fellowship of believers. Let's remember who He is and what He says. And I want to leave us with these two scriptures, and that is two passages. Deuteronomy 6, see, God understands this whole concept of neural pathways. Check this out. This is so good. Hear, O Israel. Pastor Tom, you love this verse. I love that you love this verse, because you always preach this verse. The neural pathway to my head is Pastor Tom, he loves this verse. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What is God getting after here? Hey, you need a lot of recalling the good things of God. And then John 14, 26, but the helper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach us all things and bring to us remembrance of all that I have said to you. I love that. This morning as we close, there's going to be some people right here. If you need prayer for anything, please come on up and get prayer. If you don't know Jesus, man, what an awesome opportunity. Come, meet with Jesus. He is excited to meet with you. He's so pumped to get to know you. For those of us that have, maybe just need to spend some time at the altars, feel free to do that as well. Most important thing is as we go into this new year, when we celebrate on Wednesday night and we enter into a new year on Thursday, hey, let's have a great year ahead of us in God. Let's remember the good things of God. Amen? All right. You are dismissed to remember. God bless you.